This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan, along with Sierra Doctor. We'll also have a report from Whitney Pittman as well. Well, Grand Forks Weather Service meteorologist Nathan Ricks says strong thunderstorms are moving east out of our region.
Yeah, so today we're starting to clear out. We had some thunderstorms overnight, kind of I-94 southward, tracked across the area, that dropped about anywhere from a half inch to about an inch and a half in some areas. So some pretty decent rain with those thunderstorms that moved through overnight. But now we're starting to clear out and see increasing southerly winds in about the 5 to 10 mile an hour range. And we're expecting a pretty nice warm-up today with highs in the mid to upper 70s, maybe some low 80s possible in the Southern Valley.
And temperatures are expected to drop below average toward the end of the week.
So the rest of the week, we're looking at a bit of a cool down as we move into the weekend. We're going to have a few systems moving through that are going to bring chances for some scattered showers and thunderstorms late tonight as well as Thursday night and into Friday as well. So once those systems kind of move through, we're looking at highs more so in the 60s, kind of Saturday into Sunday, with a warm-up back to the 70s by next week.
Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman is on the road near Rothsay, Minnesota today.
Pioneer Agronomy Update on the Red River Farm Network. We are with Kevin Sinner. We are just south of Rothsay in the field today on the road. Get to check out some corn here today. So let's talk about the plot that you guys have out here. It's a little bit different, not necessarily just a variety trial. So tell us what you've got going on here.
Correct. Yeah, this is we do a lot of the variety trials and a lot of the hybrid trials with corn and soybeans, but we also do some of these agronomy trials where we're going and testing different fertilizers, some different products, and just seeing how those perform throughout the year too. So agronomy plus genetics. So
all right, and what are some of the different things that you're testing specifically in this plot?
In this plot, we have it's a corn plot, and we did three different treatments. Just the straight 1034 starter, 1034 plus a zinc treatment, and then the 1034 zinc plus Utricia P, a phosphorus product.
And so you've gotten this planted. Everything in this field here behind us is already in the ground. Tell us some of the details of how that's gone here this spring. I know a lot of people have had some struggles getting in the field, getting snow off the field, but what are conditions like here?
Yeah, so these guys got some of the fortunate guys that got planted corn last week. This was planted Thursday, May 4th. So we just started to see some germination on the seed now. Not a lot of corn got planted last week, but a few guys got some in, and got even some beans got planted last week. And then, you know, most guys are still focused on the small grains and the sugar beets for now, but a few corn fields got put in and a few bean fields got put in.
All right, so we've got some things here behind us, and you've got some stuff in your hand to show off a little bit. So, again, Thursday planting?
Yes, this was just planted on Thursday, so about 6 days in the ground, and you can see we got a little sprout down there now. Soil temp is about 54 degrees right now. It was about 58 yesterday in the sun. So if we can get the sun to peak out again today, I think our soil temps will come up close to 60 probably. It'll take a little more heat to burn off some of this moisture, but yeah, the corn should be going good here. If we can keep the heat on and keep the moisture away for a little bit, this corn will probably be out of the ground here in the next couple weeks.
And let's take a look behind us. You've got some stuff set up here. We can actually get some visual.
Yep, we got soil temp right here, and it should pop back on here and show us that we're right in about in the mid-50s. 54, 55 degrees, something like that. And you can see the soil's pretty damp here. There's some ponding going on out in the field, but as the sun comes out today, I would hope that the ponding goes away and we can dry things up and hopefully miss the rain this weekend.
Thank you so much for joining us here today. Again, Kevin Sinner with the Pioneer Agronomy Update on the Red River Farm Network. On the road just south of Rothsay, I'm Whitney Pittman.
Thanks, Whitney. NDSU Extension agronomist Claire Keene says most of North Dakota has had a tentative start to planting before those rains came.
So in southeast in southwest North Dakota, planting has started. Southwest North Dakota was able to get into the field the last week of April and the first week of May before they were pushed out by wet weather. And then southeast North Dakota, some folks started planting corn and small grains in the southern counties last week, but they also were not able to do so over the weekend because of the rain. In the center of the state and north central, a few fields here and there have been planted. In the northwest, so the Williston area, quite a lot of progress has been made. People have been able to get in the ground for a couple weeks.
And Keene says the northeast part of the state is struggling with the most with getting started on planting. Small grains, sugar beets, and some lentils have been the main crops getting put in the ground.
I would say so small grains, where people have been able to plant those, so things like spring wheat and durum. Durum certainly in northwest North Dakota, spring wheat here in the valley in central North Dakota. Those pulse crops, peas and lentils, do well seeded early. In southwest North Dakota, the small grains tend to dominate, also corn, where folks plant that. But here in eastern North Dakota, there have not been really any soybean acres planted, a lot of the corn acres also just too wet to get in. So I think it'll be a week, if not 2 weeks, before a lot of corn, soybean, farther north, things like dry beans, canola, really get in the ground.
Innovis AgriFarm Management Coach Brett Olke says there's still plenty of time for farmers to get wheat and corn in the ground. Olke says with some commodity prices declining, farmers should wait out on selling.
No, I just think, you know, farmers have to, you know, be very cautious and not aggressively start panic selling into these declining prices. Let's see where this thing goes. We've got lots and lots of growing season left to go, and we don't want to have folks panic selling into prices that are unprofitable, which they are for most growers right now for corn, soybeans, and wheat. So let's just hang tight on that. We may have to sell below cost of production post-harvest, but there's no reason to intentionally do that prior to harvest.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. U.S. grain prices have not been competitive on the world market. Abbott Futures market analyst Ron McDaniel is seeing some demand erosion.
China canceled another 272,000 ton of corn. We're not competitive at all with Brazil corn, and they start to ship pretty heavily in June, July, August. So this isn't nearby corn. This is corn that we would be selling in the summer head on the books. So that's a negative, and of course we continue to be way too high priced on soybean, so that is trailing as well on our business. So we could add, the trade guess is adding 24 million to the old crop carryout, but I would bet you eventually it'll be over 100 million add back.
And even wheat is displacing some corn demand.
We're feeding wheat out east rather than corn. That's 20, 25 million loss. So at the end of the day, we're in a downtrend, and we probably take out lows we recently made over time with the weather forecast we have for the next 60 days. Then on the beans, kind of the same pattern where the planting progress at 35% is above the 21 average. Big states for beans are all getting in pretty good. Minnesota at 13 versus 21. We're still lagging on this side of the border, but we'll be catching up.
Heartland Commodities and Securities Market Analyst Jason Winter says the grains are rebounding from overnight lows as traders position ahead of Friday's supply and demand reports.
The main report always has the new numbers for 2023-2024. So we're going to get the March acres numbers, and we're going to probably get some trend line yields and some changes in supply and demand, and that number is going to be first initial numbers here going forward here. So the trade guess is looking at a potential production for the corn side at 15.12 billion bushels and beans 4.494 billion bushels.
Winter expects ending stocks to be slightly higher.
Potential carryout for corn at 2.0 billion bushels, which would be pretty bearish to the market yet, even at these numbers, current price levels. And soybeans at 0.293, that's more neutral. Maybe has some reason to concerns going forward, you know, because we just still got a lot of growing season yet. So, you know, we're still trying to get a lot of the crop planted.
Ag Resource Company President Dan Bossi says that May supply-demand report does have a history of being a market mover.
It is. It sets the balance sheets for new crop in terms of global and U.S., and so it's one of those numbers or one of those reports that we all have to pay attention to because it does delineate long-term trends.
Bossi says domestic ending stocks will be the numbers to pay attention to.
Well, I would imagine it'll be U.S. corn and soybean stocks and the U.S. winter wheat crop, and then we'll all look to see what the USDA thinks of the Black Sea. You know, how big are Ukrainian corn and wheat crops going to be? What will the exports be? Will they make any adjustments if the corridor is not open or not? I think those are the things that are being debated and what will be looked at closely. Maybe also on the outside will also be where does the Argentinian corn and soy crops, because they continue to decline, at least on yield data from the exchanges.
Ukraine's agriculture minister, Mykola Solsky, stated if the Black Sea Grain Initiative is not extended, he doesn't see any apocalyptic scenario happening. Solsky says the country has alternative ways of transporting grain if a deal for exports across the Black Sea is not extended. Ukraine has until May 18th to secure an extension on the Black Sea Grain Initiative.
Weekly report from the Energy Information Administration showing ethanol production for the week ending May 5th at 965,000 barrels per day. That's down 12,000 barrels per day from the previous week. It's also 26,000 barrels per day below the same week last year. Ethanol stocks are down 100,000 barrels from last week at 23.3 million barrels.
South Dakota State University is advising farmers and ranchers growing alfalfa that it's time to begin scouting for alfalfa weevil in fields. Growing degree days for weevils have hit 200 across much of the state. Alfalfa weevils generally have the greatest impact on first crop alfalfa, but serious damage can impact second crop as well. South Dakota Department of Ag and SDSU's Pest Management Guide for Alfalfa and Oilseeds provides more management information. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Tyson Foods plans to resume slaughtering pigs in mid-May at its Madison, Nebraska pork plant that was damaged by fire a couple of weeks ago. The company says the halt to slaughtering is at a time of weak demand for pork and low prices. In the meantime, Tyson continuing to divert hogs to other pork plants.
Minnesota's Ag Omnibus Bill has worked through committee, but according to Representative Paul Anderson, there are certain items that would also impact ag in the environmental bill. Treated seed disposal and a proposed drainage portal are top of mind.
I think those disposal issues are kind of common sense, but there are some provisions in that environment bill that are also concerning for agriculture. One of them is what's called a drainage portal, where it would be very easy to track what's happening right now anyway in that portal on the public ditch improvements to allow folks to see what's happening and possibly line up some opposition and slow down these projects that need to get done with keeping up our drainage systems here in Minnesota.
This portal could provide information that may be taken out of context. Anderson says the issues this would address are already covered by a drainage working group.
The litmus test here is we have what's called a drainage working group in Minnesota, and that's where some of these drainage situations, proposals should originate, but this didn't come from them. It came from one legislator, and again, the drainage working group is not in favor of this new portal. And I think let them do their work and let some of these things develop in their jurisdiction. But so far, that's not happened. And this has come from outside that drainage working group.
Checking markets before we leave you this afternoon, we're seeing July wheat Minneapolis 3.5 cents higher, 8.51 1/4. September's up 4 cents. Chicago July wheat is down 0.25 cents, while Kansas City July wheat's 2.25 cents higher. July corn is now 9.75 cents higher at 5.94 1/2. December's up 1.75 cents at 5.20. July soybeans are down 9 cents, and November beans down 4.75 cents. This is the Red River Farm Network.